Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm Brian Zimmerman, AVP of Client Content and Strategy with Becker's. And today I'm pleased to be joined by Ronnie Simpson, Vice President, Clinical Revenue Integrity with Conifer Health Solutions. And we're going to discuss managing the middle section of the revenue cycle. Ronnie, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Hey, Brian. Good morning.
It's great to have you. And to kick things off here, For listeners that might not be as familiar with Conifer Health Solutions and yourself, can you just introduce yourself and the work you do at Conifer?
Absolutely. So, Brian, you know, I've been fortunate. I've enjoyed over 30-year career in healthcare. I've started, you know, at a hospital, bedside care, worked through local administration, and now part of a very large organization supporting revenue cycle. My current role here at Conifer is getting the opportunity to serve in the middle of the revenue cycle or mid-cycle operations. I'm a vice president. I primary responsibilities over our health information management, revenue integrity, and our mid-cycle edit management part of the business.
Excellent. And for listeners that might not have a ton of knowledge about the middle section of the revenue cycle, can you sort of walk them through that a little bit, maybe a brief overview here of what it is and also why it's so important?
Absolutely. So I'll start out with, you know, a lot of health systems often define, you know, what service areas they include, right, in the middle of the revenue cycle. In Conifer, we include, you know, health information management, coding quality, revenue integrity services, our clinical documentation management team, and, you know, and any edit managements associated with coding or charging. I think the best way to probably describe the middle of the revenue cycle is, you know, it's the time the patient's admitted until they're discharged. So we kind of call it head and bed, right, until they walk out the door. So our focus is on capturing those data elements and that story of care that's been provided throughout that time frame.
The phrasing "story of care," I think, is really puts it nicely. Can you talk about why this is so challenging, though? Just because I do imagine capturing that story of care accurately does come with some challenges, some barriers there. Can you walk us through those?
Sure, it does. So I think if you think about the clinical applications, you know, that we're challenged with, and the interactions with the clinical providers, whether it's the MDs themselves or the other staffing within the hospital, everything that we absorb or abstract comes from what they've included in that medical record. And so I think a lot of times some of the biggest challenges is that interaction or that lack of understanding from that clinical operations of what should be included in their documentation. And so I think that probably creates a lot of the challenges within our team and the way that we interact with the hospitals. So I think if you think about you know, what can be done to kind of improve in that space, right? So, and how that impacts that cash flow is our focus and our mantra is get it right the first time, right? So if you have to rework or touch an account more than once or revisit an activity or get an extra paragraph in that story, then you've just created, one, an inefficiency to your revenue cycle from a cost standpoint and from a cash impact standpoint. So focusing on turnaround time, you know, getting things done quickly, quality measures all the way through, frequent measurements of performance indicators. And I think one of the key things, kind of close in on the question you're asking, is don't operate in a silo. You know, you've got all these different functional service areas within a revenue cycle that support, you know, patient care. Don't operate in a silo. Revenue cycle service line leaders need to have a clear understanding of what they do and how that impacts either upstream or downstream. And so they need to be looking at metrics outside of the four walls of their department. So I think those are some of the things and some of the challenges that I see today.
Thank you for laying it out so comprehensively there, Ronnie. And I want to zoom in here in just a bit about some of the areas where folks should really be focused, those revenue cycle leaders should focus first. But the question I want to ask is sort of, it strikes me that really capturing this story requires perhaps a lot of buy-in across many different folks in different roles. Can you talk a little bit about how you think about that and how you perhaps help your partners achieve that sort of broad buy-in to really help everyone understand how important it is to get it right the first time?
Well, I think there's tons of data, right? I think the data speaks for itself. So you can show data of a volume of accounts or dollars associated with those accounts, whether it's in gross or net impacts. You can quickly pull that data and say, okay, here's what's setting in a queue that should have flowed through smoothly. And why, right? So you start digging into the whys. So I think in order to demonstrate, first, you got to have data, right? So having the measurements is critical, the performance indicators, and setting down to have those discussions, not just at a high level of data, but really digging into the incremental transactional metrics and finding those areas where you feel like that as an organization can be improved.
Makes sense, Ronnie. Thank you. And so thinking here about, so for hospital mid-revenue cycle directors, really wanted to optimize this area of the revenue cycle, I guess, where should they put most of their attention first? Is it limiting AR days, reducing denials, something else? What would you say?
Well, I think it all comes together, right? So if you look at Conifer and you kicked us off, right, with a message of saying clinical revenue integrity. So that's a Conifer branded mid-cycle term. So our mid-cycle branded as clinical revenue integrity. And one of the reasons we did that is clinical behavior is related to any complete documentation, timely completion, has a material impact on the movement of that account. And so I kind of counter back with a questions and to you and to maybe the audience and saying, do you have a healthy CDI and coding communication channel? Right. You may have a strong CDI program. You may have a strong coding program, but how is the communication between those? So to focus as a leader of again, breaking out those silos, focusing as a team and working those groups together. Second question I would ask back is, what does your denial feedback look like? Are you clinical leaders? Right. So you think from an AR perspective, where the denial typically comes back in, are your clinical leaders aware of these denials? And do your revenue cycles teams participate in activities with them? Because one of the things that we see a lot is in strong mid-cycles and mitigation of denials or improvement of AR days is, you know, electronic documentation is really advanced over the last few years, and it continues to advance and continues to solve a lot of the problems if used effectively. So do you, your revenue cycle leaders participate in the advancement of those electronic documentation tools to help mitigate denial issues or point of charging edits or things that can be caught before that claim actually exits the building? So I think there's a lot of opportunities for revenue cycle leaders to focus in technology and team integrated conversations.
In responding with those questions too, certainly forces folks to think about these solutions for themselves, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And we touched on staffing sort of briefly here when we you responded to sort of my buy-in question, but curious if we can get into the staffing component here just a little bit more. So what role, how does staffing play a role, I guess, in sort of implementing some of the solutions and strategies you shared with our listeners today?
I mean, I think everybody can understand staffing and how it impacts, you know, anything we do in the business world today, you know, with the labor force that we're working with today. Having a high quality, I think quality is critical. Proficient staffing plays a significant role in efficiency and the output of any part of the revenue cycle, and definitely including the mid-cycle. So if you think of the middle of the revenue cycle, you'll see a lot more credentialed team members. So coding credentials, CDS is having RNs, you know, your revenue integrity expertise and even the HIM qualified team members, you see a larger pool of team members that have gone through, you know, extra training or to achieve those credentials or certifications. They're difficult to recruit, and once you get them, you got to retain them. And so what we found is having a strong training and advancement programs for all team members is a key factor to minimize, you know, attrition, strengthen your team's knowledge, and gives them better skills. And what you'll find is you'll have a higher level of retention, you know, keeping them involved, giving them opportunities to advance. Several, you know, if not most, having engaged in a lot of global staffing model to help deliver more of a consistent and efficient middle revenue cycle management. And you don't hear that a lot in the middle revenue cycle, but we're seeing that more and more as the advancement of technology enables some of the transactional work actually to be moved into a global atmosphere. So we've seen a lot of success in that space. So staffing plays a critical role, investing in that staff and their growth and learning. Regulatory changes, you know, happen daily in the world we live in. So I think keeping an effective training program and dedicated training programs focused on your team members' advancement really is a big benefit to any organization.
Yeah, you've got to level up support and take care of the folks you already have, right?
That's exactly right.
Well, Ronnie, it's been a pleasure speaking with you today. Before I let you go, is there anything else you want to share with our listeners?
Yeah, there is. I think, you know, many health systems continue to struggle keeping up with the regulatory changes we just mentioned, staffing challenges we just talked about, and advancements in technology that fit nicely with their electronic health records, with their revenue cycle management. I think sometimes they continue to in-house or continue to invest in that in-house solution and model to no avail. And companies exist that can greatly reduce your cost to collect and improve the overall performance of your revenue cycle program. Don't hesitate to look at those organizations, have a conversation with them, evaluate them against what you're currently doing today, and hold them accountable if you do select that, right? So with that, I just encourage folks to reach out. You know, don't have to be for the whole revenue cycle. It could be parts of the organization that you're struggling with. There are niche organizations or some organizations that cover end to end. So with that, I just encourage people, don't hesitate to at least take that step forward, have that conversation, and before you make a decision.
Well, Ronnie, once again, it was a pleasure having you on today. Truly appreciate the time.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate the time with you.
Absolutely. And on behalf of Becker's Healthcare, we also want to thank our podcast sponsor today, Confer Health Solutions. You can tune into more podcasts from Becker's Healthcare by visiting our podcast page at beckershospitalreview.com/podcasts.